Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
I'm here.
And Chris is also here.
Marapa.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you prefer wide open spaces or busy roads and streets? Are you one for calm and quiet or noise and vibrancy? Does the thought of public transport fill you with dread or do you relish the rat race? Today, we're asking, do you prefer the countryside or the city?
Having split my life between the two, I can categorically say that I think living in the countryside is absolutely terrifying.
Really?
I didn't think you were going to say that.
I did not think you were going to say that at all.
Terrifying.
You think about it, it's pitch black.
Yeah. Like,
it's absolutely pitch black. And if you walk past someone in the street at 2 a.m. in a city, very, very normal. Probably a normal human being going about their normal human being stuff.
Definitely not
carrying the countryside. Yeah, exactly. Countryside, you're thinking sociopathic killer.
Yeah.
What are they doing out late at night? I think everything about the countryside becomes terrifying when you take someone from the city and put them in the country.
I did not think that's where you were going to go, Chris. I really didn't.
He's thrown
us. Have you heard foxes fighting? That sounds like toddlers having a night.
So,
you can hear foxes fighting in the city.
Yeah, having grown up in the countryside, I didn't hear them at all. And then I moved to London and I was like, there are people being murdered everywhere.
Yeah,
that is a horrendous sound.
Actually, it's not even fighting. I think it's when they are mating.
That's worse.
I think that's what the sound is. It's an awful, awful sound. Yeah.
It does sound like a woman screaming.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like someone being murdered.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Someone's distressed. Yeah, so I grew up in Devon and so spent most of my formative years there and have then, since the age of 23, lived in London. Mm. I mean, yeah, there's a pull to both sides, but I think I currently prefer city by a long. I currently prefer the city by a long way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Less scary.
Yeah, Sarah, you're currently in the countryside, having because of the pandemic.
I am.
You've left London. You've left us.
Yep.
And you're in
rats from a ship.
What do you think? As soon as the countryside city debate.
So I can very much see the pros and cons of both. So I grew up here. Then I have lived in London for 8, 9, 10 years. And now I'm back, hopefully not for too long. Mm. But I think at heart, I'm probably a countryside girl. You know, I love the wide open space, being able to see all the sky and the greenery and the fresh air and all that stuff. I think probably, at heart, that's me. But there are times when it's a right hassle.
Mm-hmm. Getting a taxi.
Oh, yeah.
When you grow up in the countryside, there's usually only about 4 taxi drivers, so you've got to get in there quick.
And
you can't order one quickly.
It's expensive.
Yeah, because they've got a monopoly on it.
Exactly. There's no Ubers around here. Mm-hmm. And also, if you want to go somewhere and have a drink, you've either got to get a taxi. There's no public... Like, there's like one bus a day or something to my village. Like, you're not getting the bus home. There's none of that stuff. So you've got to get a taxi, or you've got to be like, can someone give me a lift?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's not going to work. One of the things that I really miss is being able to just, if I want a coffee or if I want, I don't know, a nice sandwich from somewhere. It's like, well, you got to get in the car then.
you have to go to a pub.
If I want a
that's
nice...
the thing in countryside. There's no cafes. You have to go to the pub after 5 p.m.
If I want a nice sandwich from somewhere.
I do love a nice sandwich. A nice sandwich really brightens up my day.
Yeah. You said this, didn't you, in What Gives You Hope? And it was in the form of a sandwich. I mean, the general sort of thinking is that the countryside is more friendly. There's less crime. Well, statistically, there's less crime. I mean, there's less people, of course.
Yeah.
There's less stress. It is cheaper, generally. The air is cleaner. There's more space. People can sometimes talk about it as if it is this kind of wonderful place where everybody treats each other right and so on and what have you. But not everybody is friendly in the country. I mean,
it's not some lovely, rosy, you know, we don't all skip around together singing songs.
Yeah.
It's not like...
Although, I mean, in Wales, you all sing in a choir, though, don't you?
True, yeah, we are all in one.
But I mean, I do agree. I mean, clearly there's more space. Clearly the air is cleaner. You know, there are some indisputable things here. You know, it is a bit cheaper in terms of the living and whatnot. And I would say there's less stress. It's a simpler way of living, you would say. But then because of that, though, I think that, and we're not obviously, but this is very general, and we're kind of talking about a bit of our own experience and trying to talk generally. So if anybody does live in the country or particularly loves it, there's no slight on anybody, you know, because again, there's pros and cons everywhere. But certainly for me, I've not lived classically in the country, but I've lived very much in the suburbs, like definitely not a city, if you see what I mean. Even growing up in Edinburgh, it was right on the edge of the city. It didn't really feel like you were in the city so much. You were very much on the
Edinburgh's
edge.
Edinburgh's a beautiful city.
Edinburgh is a beautiful city.
That is, as cities go, you had a good city. One there.
A very good one. But now very much in London, although more on the outskirts, but London just goes on for miles and miles. But, you know, but because of the simpler living in the countryside or you know, the very, very leafy suburbs, I say that people can be more narrow-minded. That doesn't mean to say that they're nastier or they're... And I'm not even saying that they're, you know, sort of racist or anything like that. I mean, again, that's a sort of... I don't want to go off point there. But people can be a bit more narrow-minded as in, you know... If you live in a city like London... It feels like sometimes you're in the centre of the world. And people say, well, that's a very arrogant thing to say, but I'm sure New Yorkers feel the same thing, or Berliners or Parisians feel the same thing. You know, you live in such a huge city where a lot is going on. And so you don't get bogged down by what Mrs. Miggins has said about, you know, Mrs. Smith at number 10, or you know, all this kind of crap, you know, trivial stuff. Whereas you can have a bit of that sometimes in the countryside or in the leafier suburbs, and that just drags me right down, to be honest.
I think definitely, so what you said there about like, oh, did you hear what she did? I definitely found that growing up. So I'm from a small village, but it's not too far from two quite big, you know, like decent sized towns.
Do they have a Greggs?
They both do have a Greggs, actually. There you go, a mark
of, you got good sized town as a Greggs.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was very much a thing of you couldn't do a thing without other people knowing about it. There was no you couldn't do anything on the quiet. You know, if someone had broken up with someone or got together with someone, the whole place would know about it by the following week. Like, there was no keeping it quiet, and that can be quite claustrophobic. Obviously, that was when I was kind of a teenager growing up, so maybe not such a big deal for people of different ages, but there's definitely a sort of a claustrophobia, and for like some people might see that as closeness, and oh, I like knowing everyone and everyone knowing my stuff and me knowing theirs. But if you're quite a private person, I can imagine some people would find that a bit much.
There's definitely a lot more. Well, it's gossip, isn't it? Like local gossip that goes around the town when you know so and so's done something in the local pub, and you can get away with anonymity much more in the city. But the problem with this, that is the problem with the city as well, is you can be missed, isn't there? Actually, there's a lack of community, a lack of being seen and known, and things like that, and it can be very, very lonely. Which is the flip side to the same coin, isn't it? That
of course.
One of the things I guess I do miss from living in the countryside is, you walk down the street and you know people.
Oh, it's so nice.
You know, you just bump into them.
That is nice, isn't it? When I remember somebody I know moved out of the London, and I said, "Are you enjoying where you are?" And he just said, "Oh, people can pop round for a cup of tea." Yeah. And I thought, yes, that's such a good point, that, isn't it? You don't have to say, right, okay, when do you fancy meeting up? Okay, I'm free on 3 Thursdays' time. We'll meet up there and we'll do this.
Yes.
That idea of just being able to just pop round and see someone. Are you okay? Even if it's for 10 minutes, you know. But the community thing is huge, Chris. Researchers in Canada surveyed 400,000 people across the country. So not a bad sample size. I know it's an enormous nation, but the population compared to, well, their neighbours, America, certainly is not actually that big. So 400,000 people across the country using a happiness scale. People who lived in the countryside were on average 8 times happier than those in the city. Now, Canada's, you know, good standard of living. We know they're a polite and friendly bunch. They've got some good cities there, you know, so it's... I thought, well, that's very interesting. The researchers attributed the findings to the undeniable importance of strong communities over social isolation. And social isolation is a funny one in the city because you're surrounded by people. You can feel so isolated because you don't know anybody. And a recent study found that social isolation can literally change the brain, and it floods the brain with a chemical which fuels fear and aggression, which you could argue you see more in the city. I'm sure facts would...
I'd argue not.
Really?
I grew up in a town in Devon, or near a town called Tavistock. Mm-hmm. And I would say I saw more fights in one night in a rural town than I've seen in my whole time in London.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I think in cities, you know places to not go to.
Yeah.
Whether it be bars or streets or whatever. But I think when you're more rural, there's a bit of more of a melting pot. Mm. Everybody from all around goes to the same limited bar. So actually there's a lot more, clashing and violence and things like that. And that is the problem with the countryside, is there would be more long-going feuds. I think maybe it leads into the pettiness thing. I definitely, in the countries, in the village I grew up in, like I lived in a village near a town, mm-hmm. and everybody went to the school in the local town. But like villages had feuds, like they'd hate each other, and maybe it was to do with football matches between the different villages or whatever. And there was just it was just pettiness. But that would happen mm-hmm. at the weekend when everyone was in the pub. You know, those lads from Princetown or whatever, yeah. you know, the village was called and things like that. And you know, there was these ongoing feuds it was just petty. I mean, you do get that in a city with postcode wars, I'm not denying that, but
it's extreme,
my experience
though. I think in the cities it's extreme is what I'm trying to say, and that it's unlikely that
battery acid on your car is extreme, Marcus. That's what happens in the countryside.
Yeah, that, oh, bloody Nora.
I've heard of that.
No, I can't, and I won't. But I think that in the city, yeah, you're right. If it's a sort of a gang thing and all that kind of stuff, of course you can get it. But because people are moving in and moving out, there's a lot going on. It's you get more stagnation, I think, in a place where things are don't change that much.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, kind of you were saying about feuds and that kind of thing, Chris. So I think if you fall out with someone in a village or a small town or that kind of thing, you can't really get away from them in the same sense of if I fall out with someone else who lives in London, well, there's however many million other people in the city, like my odds of having to deal with them are much lower. Whereas if it's like I'm going to see them every time I go to get a pint of milk, I think it's much more of that kind of pressure cooker. And, mm-hmm. and again, like I said, for some people, the benefit of that outweighs it. But yeah, I think that can be quite hard. And yeah, I definitely felt that growing up as well. You know, if you fall out with people, you just can't avoid them.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if like with the city, you have more renters in the city, don't you? So it is a bit more transient. So as you said, like, you know, you fall out with someone, the likelihood is you're probably going to live in a different area of the city in a year's time or 2 years anyway. So like you can just move on and get away from these things. But if you live in a home that you own or your family own, you're going to be there for a long time, right? So actually you are, as you said, Marcus, maybe in a way there's a bit of stagnation in terms of mobility and stuff.
Yeah, but then of course you do get that in some cities as well. And actually with people moving in and moving out all the time in the city, yeah, it's incredible that you can just turn up, especially in a big city, and you can sort of be who you, what you want, you do what you want. And you know that you'll sort of move on, or if the neighbours are upsetting you, then you could just move on and not really try, not really engage with them. But then that does, it can lead to a situation where you don't know your neighbours. You don't care that much for the local area because you think, well, I'm only here for a short period of time, so I'm not going to invest. I'm not going to find out what's going on. I'm not going to find out what the community activities are. Whereas in the countryside and so on, you can find villages that they're all kind of on a similar page. There is a community spirit and so on. And that study, as I said, in Canada, you know, that was the thing. It was a strong community was the defining factor on whether someone was happy or not. It goes back to what you were saying, Chris. Are you seen? Are you heard? Are you connected? And I find living in London, you know, obviously that's the main, example I have from living here since my sort of mid to late 20s until now, is that I remember just thinking, if I leave London, a few of my mates, but nobody will notice. Like the whole thing, it will not change any of the dynamics, any of the flow, absolutely anything. It will just carry on. Whereas if went back in my village in Ashted in Surrey, you know, leaving there, there is a little bit of a Marcus
shaped gap. The place
collapsed,
gap. Didn't it?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I'm sure it is with Sarah or you, Chris, where you were, or other people. People do miss you, and you still have those friends that you have back there. People still do get in touch every now and then. I go, how are you getting on? Or when you do come back, or let us know when you come back. It's a little bit of an event. And if I was to move back fully, then I know exactly where I would slot in, what would happen. Mm-hmm. I'd be welcome with open arms, and I would have a life ready to go like that. And it would be a very pleasant one.
Mm. Do you guys find that your relationships are deeper in when you're not in a city? Because in a way, there's less people to get to know, less friends. And we've said, you know, on the podcast before, you know, we all go to church. So therefore, like, part of a bigger church, there's more people that you feel you should know. As where when there's less people around, that you actually can spend more time getting to know them on a deeper level? Or is that just me?
I think that argument makes sense to me, but I think perhaps for me it's more a fact that because in London, which is where the big city I've lived in, you have to really make that effort to see people. Like, so, you know, if I want to see a friend from where I am in Wales, that, you know, they're 10, 15 minutes down the road, whereas in London you might be spending more than an hour travelling to see them. You have to make a lot more effort to see them in a way. And so I think actually the friendships that I really invest in, like, because I'm having to put so much effort in, I've still got some amazing, you know, very old friends who I count as some of my closest friends in the countryside.
When you say very old, are they elderly or are they, you've known them for a long time?
I'm only friends with over 90 over 90 year olds, so they just really
He's
get
such
me,
a good
you know?
Human being. Yeah. It's the cardigan.
Lots in common.
It keeps you relevant and keeps you cool, doesn't it? They don't know any better.
Exactly. But yeah, so I think, yeah, for me, I think it, because like you have to work so hard to see people in London, you can't just pop round. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things I like about being in Wales is that I can pop in for a cuppa, go for a quick coffee. Whereas in London, like you said, Marcus, it's like, right, well, I'm free on the next full moon between like 11:30 and 11:45.
Yeah. You should clarify when you say in Wales, because if people from listening from far and wide, they might think, where is this Wales? You know, there is a city, you know, there's a few cities in Wales.
I live in like a pretty rural area of South Wales.
In the valleys.
Not in the valleys.
But you're right. My friends, when they visit this, you know, the city, when they come to London, I don't think they quite comprehend, like you said, that they'll be like, oh, I'm coming up tomorrow. Are you free? And I'm like, no, you should have booked me up 3 months ago.
And they'll be like, oh, I'm
so
in this
busy
place in West London. And you're like, well, I live like an hour and a half away from you. And they're like, but you're in London. And
but it's strange, though. You would think city living would lend itself to more spontaneity.
Yeah.
And no. it does in some senses. I mean, maybe, certainly Chris and I are getting a bit older, but that's one thing I love about the city is there is a spontaneous sort of lifestyle, or there can be. You know, you have so much at your fingertips, especially in a big city. I can remember, you know, the Irish comedian, Darragh O'Brien, who I think he's brilliant. And he was on at a big place in West London called Hammersmith Apollo, which I'm sure many people would know, live at the Apollo on BBC. And he was doing a show there. I hadn't got a ticket. I knew he was on that night. And I just thought, sod it, I'm just going to turn up and see if I can get a ticket. And they had a ticket 10 rows from the front that had been put in for resale. And in I went. You've got the option for stuff like that. I like in the city that, you know, if I want to go and watch a football match on the weekend, I've got options, you know. Now, I know, again, I don't want to be too London-centric with this chat, but London's got, you know, hundreds of football clubs. And but you've got that option. And I think that's what it is. I think that's what makes you feel a bit more alive. For me, personally, I remember a guy used to go to church with, old Baz, fantastic bloke, and he lived in one of the more leafier parts of London, and he said, I love the fact in London you have so many options. Because I said to him, we were talking about this actually, and the general trend of when people get to a certain age, they tend to move out if they've got children maybe, or they're getting a bit older. And he said, no, I always wanted to stay here because I love having all the options. He says, I never go to the theatre, for example, but I love the fact it's there. It's there if I want it. You know, that sort of psychological thing. And I kind of like that. But then on another hand, though, you can get too stuck and too you know, wedded to the city, if you like, and you think, oh, I can't possibly move out because I like having all these options. I like being able to do this. And then when you hear people who do manage to wrench themselves away, they kind of go, there is life outside the city, actually. Yeah. And some of the things that, you know, you realise that, actually, I never do that. And I've moved out and I've got this community, or it is a little bit safer, perhaps, or I don't know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There's many different facets.
It's interesting. I've had quite a few friends, maybe six friends, as in, like, they're in couples, so there's 12 of them. But a lot of them are permanently relocating from London due to the pandemic. So
yes.
I think they've realised that, and they're at that life stage. I think all of them have young kids, and they're now saying, oh, well, I guess they've spent time in the countryside and realised that it's just a very different life in a life stage as well. I think, which is what I do love about the city is it attracts a certain type of person. I think tends to be people who be quite driven maybe for their career, and therefore I would see personally a higher level of excellence in what people do and achieve. So again, I'll use the church context, that the musicians in our church are always fantastic. They're industry level musicians, as where my experience in the countryside is that they'd be good but not that good. Do you know what I mean? There's a higher level of excellence that I see in those who stay in the city. But equally, then those people may, I just contradict myself really, because then they'll leave and go to the country.
I know what you mean, though. So, I do know what you mean. And also,
It's a certain type of person that I think really thrives in the city.
Definitely. And I think there's so much, it's much more diverse in the city as well. And again, I mean, that in itself has pros and cons. So with diversity, people from all walks of life, people with all different interests, as you say, Chris, you know, I don't think I'd ever truly met posh people until I'd moved to the city. And when people say what posh, what, like you prefer crumpets to toast or whatever, no, talking proper posh, like, you know, high up in the army, went to school with the royals, that kind of thing. And I lived in quite, you know, very nice middle class areas in Edinburgh and Surrey, do you know what I mean? But proper posh, never met them before till I moved to London. Never met, you know, people from all sorts of different nationalities before moving to London and what have you. And I think that is a wonderful thing. It's a truly joyous thing when you meet people from all different types of backgrounds and so on. But then there is something nice, though, again, going back home to the village in Surrey, where there is a more of a collective, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think
it
depends what you have, because not all cities are the same, of course, and not all villages and towns are the same. And is the kind of the countryside or the village or whatever your reference point, is that a place that is a bit stagnated? Is it a bit violent on a Saturday night? Do you know what I mean? As you say, Chris, and so on. It really depends what your reference point is.
I quite enjoyed my brother-in-law. He lives in, I can't remember where it is. It's a little place in sort of Gloucestershire near Grafton, I think it is. And on New Year's Day every year, they close off the whole of the street to the village, and then they do like go-kart races down the middle.
Fantastic.
And the whole village turns out, and people are there selling hot chocolate outside their houses and bacon butties and things like that. And that's one of the things that, you know, I do love about the countryside, is that actually, as you said, not just community, but actually sometimes the whole village will come out and they'll do all these things together. And that's something I quite miss in London. Like, yes, we have.
Yeah.
But then we have other things, don't we? We have festivals, you know, in the parks, things like that. But it's just, there was something really, just really heartwarming about going to this event where, you know, you've got older guys who have spent ages creating a DeLorean from the Back to Future thing as their go-kart. And then you've got these little kids that have been working on their thing as well. And it is just all ages and people coming together for these events as well. And it just, made me think, oh, maybe I could do this one day.
Yeah, but I think it's phases of life, though. I mean, a chap who is the professor of population geography at Newcastle University, he said that young people are more likely to move in from the shires and the counties to achieve more rapid career progress than they felt they would at home, and then later in their lives cash in on their inflated urban house values and move out, either at a family building age with children or nearer retirement. And there's definitely that kind of thing, is you different phases of life. You know, I'm probably in that phase where I'm thinking, oh, do I maybe want to move out a little bit? But then I did have a chat with a guy on the bus once who had retired, and him and his wife had moved from the kind of suburbs to this particular place. It's quite nice in London. And he said, no, we were retiring. Therefore, we wanted to kind of feel a bit more life. We didn't want to feel old and just isolated, you know.
Brilliant.
I think...
What about... Go on, Sarah.
I think for me, what I found quite interesting is like trying to think about this is not wanting to romanticize either of them too much. You know, like people say, oh, you know, villages, everyone just gets along and the city's big and scary. Or vice versa, they say, oh, village, the countryside is so boring and the city is amazing. Yeah.
Like, they're all
if you're
murderers.
Chris and you're walking around at 2 a.m. But so it's that thing of like, I think you've got to be careful not to generalize too much and also not to be patronizing. You know, I think having done both, but also, you know, I mean, my experience of London will be massively different to other people's, you know. Chris, your experience of living in the countryside, very different to mine and all that kind of thing. But, yeah.
It is the personal experience, though. And as I said, you know, a few minutes ago, is your reference points as well. What are you used to? But there is, but with the pandemic, it is interesting that, you know, people are predicting more people to leave the cities because people have been reassessing what they want. And certainly, if you are locked up indoors, or in a lockdown rather, you know, a garden's quite nice to have.
Massively.
And apparently there was a huge study done, and 14% of Londoners said that they want to move out of London due to the pandemic. Now, that's just due to the pandemic alone, you know, 14%. You might think, well, that's not that high, but you know, I think that's quite significant, actually.
Yes. I called that on the previous show about what would change after lockdown. I said the city would change. And so many people have said because they can do their jobs from home. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's gone on so long now, they realise actually we can do this because of technology. That will be the fascinating thing with the change in shape of cities. But I am hoping personally that London it's just become this business land. It feels like
yes.
From when I initially moved in, it felt it was really vibrant, but now it feels everything's geared towards, you know, capitalism basically.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that actually, because that'll be dispersed ideally throughout the whole country business, that cities should reshape and reform into maybe being centres of culture and entertainment again and things like that, and less about money.
It definitely became a thing of, I think, for our generation of if you wanted to do well in your career, because obviously you can do that in lots of places, but especially with London, it felt like certain careers. So myself, I work in media. Well, all the head offices are in London. Yeah. If they're not in London, they're in another very big city. So it was like, well, if you want to progress, you've got to go there. And now that that's starting to change, you know, some companies are actually just completely shutting up their offices and saying you can work from home. Mm-hmm. I hope that starts to kind of change that a bit. And yeah, it will be really interesting to see how many people do just leave because they're sick of the high rents and not having a garden and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a friend of mine lived in London for many years and lived in Manchester as well. You know, likes a big city. He loved Manchester. He loved London. And he now lives in Northern Ireland, in a bit more of a rural place, is where his wife's from. And he flies on business to other cities in the UK. He loves it when he visits Glasgow and say Manchester as well. And I remember once he came to London. It was a Friday night, met in a pub near the river. There was a lot of people, a lot of busy, and he was just like, this place is like a drug, hook it up to my veins, you know, like it's just, there's so many people, it's just happening, there's a buzz, do you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing with the city, is it's not boring. It can stress you, it can tire you out and all the rest of it, but it's not boring. And I think that will always cities will always have that going for it. But of course, you know, different phases of life, horses for courses, all those kind of cliched kind of expressions, you know, makes it very, very interesting. So who knows where we'll be living in a few years' time, Chris. Maybe we'll all have left the city.
We'll have started the AQQA village.
Yeah.
out in the Everyone Hebrides or something.
All the listeners can come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely right. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do get us or find us on social media at AQQAPod. And feel free to give us a delightful review too on those iTunes or wherever you get your pods. But until next week, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Cheers.
Thank you, good listeners. See you next week.